Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Romans, chapter 1, Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. And I will start reading at verse 16. Verse 16. And the Apostle Paul, after his introduction, says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." All right, so in the gospel, which Paul is not ashamed of, in the gospel is where the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. All right, so keep that thought in mind. All right, now look at verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." Now, how did God do that? Well, verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." All right, so why? Well, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. How? Well, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Wow. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? I want you to look back at verse 28. And Paul here makes a statement that I want to speak to you on tonight in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I want to speak to you tonight about the reprobate mind. I want to speak to you on that verse and on that thought tonight. Let's pray together, and we'll ask the Lord to help us and then the message. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much that we have a Bible. And Lord, thank you that we can open the Bible and we can learn about ourselves. We can see our world in this first chapter of Romans. We can see our world today. And we can see how we got to this point in our world today. We certainly are not the same nation that we used to be. Just in my lifetime, our nation has changed. And Father, I think I'm safe in saying the change has not been for the good. But the change has been for the worst. And so, Lord, I pray that as we look on these things tonight and think about what Paul says here, that it will help us to get a better grasp on how we as believers should conduct ourselves and how we ought to behave. And so, Lord, give us understanding of thy word tonight. And we will praise you and thank you for what you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray and ask these things, and amen. All right, this last half of the first chapter of the book of Romans is, I think I'm safe in saying, an exact description of the day in which we live. The scriptures have to be inspired of God, for no man could write with such clarity and an expose of the sinfulness of the heart of man as does the Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Paul in these verses. You may have heard the name Theodore Epp. Theodore Epp was connected to back to the Bible back in the 50s and 60s. Back when Back to the Bible was a solid ministry, and back when he was a child, his dad was a missionary to the Native American Indians out in the West. And he gave testimony, spoke about it often, of how he remembered when they first went to minister and to try to win these people to Christ, that he had a group of elders around him, and they were wanting to hear what he had to say and what he was going to teach the people, but the elders were there first, and his dad turned to the book of Romans and read the first chapter to them. And when he read the first chapter and when he got to the end of it, they were upset. And they were upset because they said, "This is not from your God. This is from you. This is what you have written about us." And he had a difficult time explaining to them and convincing them that he did not write this. And they thought that he came just to indict them and that he had written this indictment against them. And he said, "No, this is not my indictment against you. This is God's indictment against you." But you see, they thought that he had written it. They accused him of making up the verses simply because it was so descriptive of their lives and it revealed them so clearly just what was in their hearts. And so Paul begins this expose of man's sinfulness by stating that the just shall live by faith. And we saw that back in verse 17. That is one of the sub-themes of the Bible. It is found four times in the Scripture, once in the book of Habakkuk, and then in this passage, and in Romans Ephesians, and then in the book of Hebrews. So four times in the Bible, this little sub-theme is there: the just shall live by faith. We know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so he begins this expose about the sinfulness of man by saying that the just shall live by faith. Now, think about that phrase for just a minute. None of us were there when God created the heaven and the earth. All right, none of us were there. That was long before anybody's day. Howard Otto is the oldest member of our church, and he's 100 years old. Well, he wasn't there. All right, this happened this way back there. None of us were there. So how do we know that God created the heaven and the earth? Well, we have to take it by faith. We have to believe it by faith, and we read about it in the Bible and believe by faith what God said. We weren't there when Adam and Eve sinned and were kicked out of the garden. So how do we know that Adam and Eve sinned and were kicked out of the garden? Well, God tells us, and we have to believe what God says. None of us were there when God split the Red Sea and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. So how do we know that event happened? Well, God tells us in His Word, and so we must believe it by faith. All right, now, we weren't there when Jesus died on the cross. So how do we know Jesus died on the cross? Because God tells us that He died on the cross. We weren't there when He resurrected. We weren't there when He ascended back to heaven. So how do we know that this really happened? We believe it because God says so in His Word, and we believe His Word. So the just shall live by faith. Now, my friend, listen, if you didn't believe the Bible, if you didn't believe what the Bible says about all these things, and yet you sat down and read Romans chapter 1, verse 17 to verse 32, and you could look around and see the world around you, just reading these verses ought to be enough to convince you that the Bible is God's Word. Because God tells on us like no other source. These verses so adequately describe our world that there is no way any man could have written them. Man would not tell on himself this strongly and this clearly, but God would, and God did, and it's recorded for us right here in these verses. We see here a description of the rejection of God by mankind. And that is followed by the rejection of man by God. That's what these verses tell us. These verses tell us that God made us, and then we turned right around and rejected our Creator. We rejected the God who made us. And then Paul went on through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he tells us that the day is coming, that what we're seeing now is a world where God has rejected us, where God has rejected those who have rejected Him. Man, through Christ, we can be accepted. We're accepted in the Beloved. But we live in a world that has rejected God, and what we're seeing today is a world that God is rejecting. In other words, folks, Paul is telling us here that there are consequences to rejecting God. You say, oh, well, I know that there are consequences to rejecting God, Pastor. I know that the Bible tells us that Christians go to heaven and the unsaved go to hell. Yes, that is true. Ultimately, there are consequences for rejecting God. But what Paul is describing here is that the consequences are not just in the sweet by and by, but they are in the nasty now and now. All right? So it's not just so far as eternity goes. Folks, there are consequences in life for rejecting God. And that's what's being dealt with here. That's what Paul was dealing with. When men reject God, certain things follow that rejection. And Paul goes through these steps, and what is revealed is a very clear description of our world today. Now, I want us to look at two things tonight. First, I want to show you what Paul says about how man has rejected God. But then secondly, I want us to look at the retribution of God upon man. There is a price to pay for rejecting the Lord. There are consequences to it. All right, but first of all, let's look at man's rejection of God. There is a process that men took through the years in their rejection of God. But I think it can be summed up in verse 28. Look at the first part of verse 28. Paul said, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, folks, I ask you, is this not a perfect explanation of life in America today? This is where we are as a people in America today. Our world today is doing its dead level best to rid itself and all of us from having any knowledge of God. This statement, I think, explains the progressive liberal mindset and agenda in an amazing way. I think this verse explains the ACLU. I think this verse explains Madeleine Murray O'Hare and all of the lawsuits against prayer in school and prayer at football games and prayer at graduations. I think that this statement explains the war on Christmas that we see every December. The war on Christmas, and why nativity scenes are being removed from the town squares, and why you cannot pray any longer in a public setting. You see, the whole effort, what the devil has been doing forever, is to rid the world of any knowledge of God. It is to rid America of having any knowledge of God. You know, I can remember going to the first grade, and I remember Mrs. Hoon. I remember her well because she's the one that tied my left arm to the chair and made me right-handed. That just messed me up for life. My brain is left-handed. And Miss Hoon said, "Oh, no, 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 honey." And she turned my paper around, taped it to the desk so it wouldn't move, and then taped my left arm to the desk and made me right-handed. That's what's wrong with me today. Just fouled me plumb up. But Miss Hoon had a Bible, and it was a worn Bible. It was worn because she used it. And Miss Hoon, every Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, when we came in and sat down, the first thing she did was had us all stand, put our hands over our hearts, and say the Pledge of Allegiance. And then she made us all sit down, and she opened the Bible, and she read the Bible, and usually preached a little sermon. And then she prayed, we all folded our hands and bowed our heads while she prayed. But you see, you cannot do that today. No, we've gotten God out of our schools. Now, don't you find it strange that Duke University last week said that they would allow the bell-towered chapel on their campus to be used every Friday as a beacon for the Muslim call to prayer, and that they would play that Arabic chant that was inspired of hell to be sounded from its speakers every Friday? Don't you find that strange? Oh, they're all for that. They're all for that. But they would not allow a group of Christians to sound Amazing Grace from the speakers and call Christians to prayer. Oh no, that would be a violation of church and state. Just get God out of the picture. That's what they're trying to do, and they're succeeding. You see, folks, laws are only as good as the people. And if the people are good, then the laws will be honored. And if they are bad people, they will pervert the best of laws and make them say what they want them to say. And that is exactly what has happened in our nation that has forgotten God. Our day has so despised God that it is perfectly fine today to teach the filthy, perverted, against nature, disgusting lifestyle of the homosexual agenda, but you don't dare mention God and discuss Bible foundations for a strong Christian home. Don't do that. Or you can discuss homosexuality all you want, but don't bring the Bible into the picture. We have so despised God in our country and sought to remove Him, but I submit to you that it is at great cost. And since we no longer have God or the Bible in our schools in America, what has happened? Well, we now have policemen who roam the halls in practically every high school in America in our cities. You see, rejecting God has become very costly for our country. When the courts threw God out of our schools, something moved in to fill the vacuum that remained. And what came in was evil. And now we have a couple of generations who have been raised and educated without any knowledge of God and the truth of His Word. And what has it gotten us? I tell you what it's gotten us. It's gotten us abortion on demand. It's gotten us gambling in practically every state. It's gotten us a marijuana legalization in several states. It's gotten us gay marriage all over the country. It's gotten us the highest unemployment since Jimmy Carter's days. It's gotten us 32% of the country that is totally dependent upon government assistance. It's got us taxes out the eyeballs. It's got us regulations that are choking the life out of our economy. And it's got us a nation with no fear of God before their eyes. That's what it's got us. You mark it down. When you take something out of anything, something has to replace it. And when God was taken out of America, the devil moved in to fill the hole that was left unattended. All right, so secondly, that swings us right to the rest of the verse. Secondly, I want you to look at the retribution by God for man's rejection. You see, there's a price to be paid for rejecting God. And I'm not just talking about in eternity. I'm talking about now in life. There is a price that a society must pay if that society rejects God. And that retribution by God upon man is twofold. First of all, look at your verse. First of all, there is his retribution upon man's mind. Look at your Bible. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, look at this. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, what does that mean? What is a reprobate mind? Well, I got the dictionary out and I looked up the word reprobate. And the word means worthless. Worthless. God gave them over to a worthless mind. And it comes to us from the Latin language, and the word, the English word, is a combination. It comes from Latin and is a combination of two Latin words. And basically, what the foundation of the word is this: to be disallowed. To be disallowed. Now let me illustrate it for you. In the sports world, let's take baseball for instance. Major League Baseball has a rule that says that a player cannot take steroids or any substance to build up his physical strength. You cannot take some steroid in order to pump yourself up to make you stronger, make you hit the ball further, make you run faster. In other words, Major League Baseball wants everybody to be on the same level. Okay? No cheating. New England Patriots, no cheating. All right? Now, you can lift weights. You can run. You can work out all you want. But they test the players to make sure that somebody is not taking any banned substances that would give them an edge over somebody who's following the rules. And every year, there are players who get caught. Every year since they started doing this. And the players all throw their hands up and say, I didn't know that I was taking that. And so they go to arbitration. And they bring in the league representative and they sit before a panel of their peers and they state their case, and nobody ever wins their case anymore. 50 games. One of our players, Chris Davis. 50 games. He had to sit out. He's got one more game. He's got to sit out the first game of the year. April, whatever, when they start playing. Because he's got one more game on his 50-game suspension. Had the Orioles made it into the World Series, he would have had to sit out the first game, and then he could have played the other six games. But he couldn't. He got suspended. And you know what he said? I didn't know. I thought I put on the paper what the steroid that I was taking for my asthma. And Major League Baseball said, too bad. You are now suspended without pay for 50 games. So there, listen to me now. Here's the application. So their behavior against the rules, their violation of the rules, causes them to be reprobate, disallowed. You with me on that? It causes them to be disallowed. They are disallowed to play and get their millions of dollars for playing baseball. Please get that last part. They're playing baseball and being paid millions of dollars. Don't take steroids. If you do, you are disallowed. Now, God says in our text that when men will not retain God in their knowledge, God will give them over to a reprobate mind. They will become disallowed. You see, folks, God will not force himself on any of us. And this verse tells us that there comes a time in your life when God says, okay, you don't want to include me in your life. Just go ahead then and do what you want to do. And God will then take his convicting hand off of you. He'll take his hand off of your life and let you live your disallowed life. Reprobate. So this is a mind that does not include God, and where God is excluded, and you mark it down, where God is excluded, sin abounds. But notice that this judgment is reciprocal. Man did not want God in his mind, so God said, fine, I will not be in your mind. But the consequences will be that you will have a mind that is reprobate, that is worthless, that is filthy, that is the abomination that you have chosen over me. If that's what you want, God says, go ahead and have it. But you're going to have it without me in your life. I'll just disallow you. Now, look at the next part. We have the retribution upon the mind, but then look at this. Here's what follows. When God pulls away, what happens is the retribution of God upon your manner of life. Look at the rest of the verse. You say, Pastor, I've read this many, many times, and I really don't know what that last phrase means. He said, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Watch this now. To do those things which are not convenient. Now, what does that mean? Convenient means something approved. Check it out. You look it up. Convenient means something approved. Now let's go back to the baseball analogy. If a baseball player is given a drug test and passes, he is approved and can play without any hindrances. And that's what the word convenient means, approved. So notice the play on words that Paul is using here. Reprobate means disallowed, but convenient means allowed. It means approved. One, the reprobate, is disapproved, and the other means approved. So the point is, if you live life without thought of God, it will show in you. It will show in you. And folks, this is why our world is so full of the things listed in verse 29 through verse 32. When a generation rejects God and will not retain God in their lives will reflect their rejection through their behavior. And our land is seeing this kind of thing right now. We have thrown God out of our public schools. We have thrown God out of our government. We have thrown God out of our military. And sadly, oh, and this grieves me to say it, but we have thrown God out of most of our churches across this land. And the end result is what we're seeing today. The end result is Barack Hussein Obama twice. The end result is a Democrat Congress the last 4 years. Thank God they don't have full power now. Man, we're unreal. Unreal. You know, folks, America used to win wars when we retained God in our knowledge. America used to be the world's leading economy when we were free and when we retained God in our knowledge and when we preserved life. But now we've gotten God out of the picture and we're just acting like the rest of the world. And all of a sudden, what's happened to our country? What's happened to us? When a nation does not retain God in its knowledge, there is a stiff price to pay for that rejection. We heard last night, well, I didn't hear it because I couldn't watch it. I just couldn't watch it. I turned over and watched somebody chasing bad guys in Alaska or something. I don't know what it was. But we heard last night just a bunch of lies about how wonderful socialism is. Oh, he never called it socialism, but that's what it is. And I told you, if you remember, I told you 6 years ago that what he was going to do wouldn't work, and that it has been tried before and has never worked. But hey, listen, socialism is what you get when you don't listen to God. Look at the Soviet Union. Look at Europe. And we're only about 6-7 years behind Europe. Well, we're catching up quickly. And now we've got it. Socialism. But Obama did the only thing he could do, and that's lie about how wonderful his socialist plan is, and the truth is, it is destroying our country. But that's what you get. There's consequences. There are consequences. And if you look at verse 29, here is America, filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Psst, 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 psst. Did you hear? Psst, psst. Oh, God help us. God help us. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Man, that's us. That's our country. That's what we are. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. You ever watch those clips that they have on the Fox News and on their website and on the Blaze on their website, where these people go out and ask just your average people. I think O'Reilly does it with Jesse Waters. And they just go around and ask people their opinion on things and ask them history questions. And oh, my goodness. And I've watched O'Reilly says, how many hours did you have to stand out there before you got these people to say that you put this clip together? He said, no, these were real. These were real. Folks, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. And why is that? Because we got God out of the picture years ago. And we have today exactly what happens when you get God out of the picture. We're getting exactly what Paul said we would turn into once we turned our back on God as a nation. And we're here. You say, well, Pastor, what's the answer? Well, there are consequences to turning away. But, you know, we've got three solutions. Number one is either rapture. I'm praying for that one. Number two, total ruin. Just total ruin. I hope that doesn't happen to our country. I fear for my grandkids. Oh, man. I mean, I just look at their little faces and I think, what in the world are they going to have to deal with when they get my age, if the Lord tarries? So rapture, total ruin, or revival. Revival's not out of the question. And it could be that things get so bad that the Holy Spirit of God breathes a fresh anointing of His breath upon this country, and our country turns back to God. I'd love to see that happen. I would just love to see that happen. And that is possible. There have been other times where our country was out there, and God sent revival. And it could happen again. But I'm banking on that rapture happening, I'll be honest with you. I'm surprised it hadn't already happened. I communicated with Boaz today, our guide over in Israel, through email. He was, I hope he wasn't on a tour, because we just sat there emailing one another back and forth. But I was communicating with him, and I emailed him early this morning and told him that I was praying for him. He and his wife live up in the, her name's Maggie, they live up in the northern part of Galilee, up next to the Lebanon-Syria border, in one of those kibbutz communities up there. And I told him, I said, I saw what happened yesterday, and with the six terrorists blown up, and one of them was an Iranian general, and the other was the son of the leader of Hezbollah in Lebanon. And they were, according to reports, they were riding all together in a car, and Israel blew them up, all of them. And as Boaz would say, yep, today or yesterday, six Muslims quit smoking. That's how he phrased it. Six Muslims quit smoking yesterday. But what happened was this. Boaz said, of course, we're not getting this here, but this is what's being reported in Israel, that the six of them were down there and they were organizing so that they could attack, and Iran was in on it. And of course, Israel knows everything going on over there. You say, how do they do that? Well, they're good at what they do. And they knew, and they waited till all six of them were in the car, and then they dropped a Hellfire missile on them, and they passed go and didn't collect their $200. That was it. They were gone. And Boaz said that they were sending a message to the Iranians that we are not putting up with you. You say, well, did they know that Iranian general was in the car? Yes. Oh, yes. And that was a message. You better stop. Now, listen, folks, Iran does not want to mess with Israel. Trust me on that one. They are no match, and they know it. And that's why they're working so hard to get this bomb, this nuclear bomb. And that's why they want it so bad. The world's a mess. And America is a mess. And you mark my word, it's either revival, ruin, or rapture. It's going to be one of the three. And I think we better realize that God's got our number. And there is a price to pay for rejecting God. And America is paying that price right now. So let's keep our hearts where they should be. I don't want to have a reprobate heart, a disallowed heart. I don't want that. I want my heart to be in tune with God and His Word. And I hope you do as well.